If you can hear me out there, come on in, grab a spot. There is a lot of fellowshipping going on. Hey, we're glad you guys are here with us today. It was really chilly first service, but it filled in. It was sparse to begin with. It really filled in good. So, but we're grateful the sun's kind of peeking through there. So why don't you go ahead and stand with us? We're going to get started with some worship. Let me pray for us so we'll get going here. Lord God, we thank you for this church, Lord, for this day, for this opportunity, Lord, for every soul, every person that's here, Lord, we thank you. We want to praise you. We want your presence to be crystal clear in this place to us, Lord. We want to make a special connection with you today and just spend time with you here, Lord. We don't need to be in this place to spend time with you, Lord, but it's special when we are. So just bless this time, Lord, and let these songs just sing praise to you. We love you, Lord. Amen. Let faith arise. In spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise. For my champion's not dead, he is alive. He already knows my every need. Surely he will come and rescue me. God, miracles come. We need your supernatural love to break. You're the God of miracles. Let faith arise. See the kingdom come. I lift my eyes. For the battle has been won. My God is faithful. Every single word he says. To break through, nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. 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 Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Our church and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Yes, I believe in you. Yes, I believe you rose again. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church.
I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Yes, I believe in you. Yes, I believe you rose again. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, I believe in you. Yes, I believe you rose again. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name.
from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted and rescue the King. Come find your mercy, a sinner come to me. This earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Lay down your burden.
Just an awesome thing that we can come just as we are and just experience God here in this place. I was commenting in first service, you know, I see myself so many times as the world view and all my faults and shortcomings, and then you turn and you look at God and He just looks upon you as perfect and as His. And what an amazing feeling that is. And I just encourage us all to seek God in that way and receive that from Him and just follow His guidance for our life. So we thank You for today, Lord. Bless the rest of the time that we have here together. We love You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for singing with us. It sounded awesome. If you guys go ahead and turn and say hi to someone next to you there. We'll have some announcements coming up for you shortly.
All right. Good morning, Harvest Church. Good morning, Harvest Church. Glad to see you all here. First service, about 10 minutes into the everybody talking, all of a sudden I got reminded that I was supposed to do announcements, and I completely forgot. So I feel a little more prepared this time. Hey, welcome. If you're joining us for the first time, just want to say a special welcome to you. There is a welcome table back over here by the coffee, and we would love for you to fill out a communication card just to get to know you, get you plugged in. And we also have a free gift for you. I won't say what kind of mug it is, but it's a free gift, or what it's filled with. Hey, my name is Jeremy. I'm one of the pastors here. So glad to be meeting with you. We have some exciting stuff. So next week, we will be once again reopening the main sanctuary and loft for the services. So if you feel comfortable and you want to be join us in the sanctuary and the loft, feel free to. We're still going to be live streaming up here on stage, as well as the online live stream as well. So those are, we have plenty of options for all comfort levels. But services will be resuming, first and second service in the sanctuary and loft. And with that, the children's ministry is resuming all their Sunday school classes this week in second service. We're still needing some volunteers and for the 9 a.m. service for the kids. So if that's God's placing that in your heart, please go and talk to Leslie. We'll also, with the opening of more venues, we also need more greeters and a welcoming crew. So if that's on your heart, please talk to us as well. Get more information at the welcome booth. Some of you have been asking, how do you give? Well, we have a couple options. We have online, agharvest.org. You can give online that way. Or there's the mailbox that is actually a collection box right here, and you can stick your offerings in there as well. We got a cool, oops, my notes dropped. We have a new women's Bible study starting up, the Book of James, and that'll be at Thursdays at 10 o'clock in the loft. And you can sign up for that in the info center. So new book, the Book of James for the women's Bible study. And then lastly, we have a movie night coming up September 25th. And we're going to be showing the movie Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe here, as well as a shorter kids show before that. So it's a fun time just to gather up, watch a little movie under the stars, bring your blankets and some sweaters and a comfortable chair to sit in, and come join us with that. So that's September 25th, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Oh, yeah, time. That's a good question. I should look at my notes for that. It will be 6 to 9:30. Now think about it. I don't think I mentioned that first service. So 6 to 9:30 on the patio, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. We'll crank up the popcorn and have some yummy snacks as well. So join us for that. And once again, just welcome. Glad you're here. And it's exciting to see what the Lord is doing and how he's moving. So
with that. Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah, I'll
appreciate
pass it. Off, yeah.
Go ahead. Good job, Jer. With that, without that, welcome. How is everyone? Good. Good to see you. It's not quite as warm this morning as it was last week, although it's kind of getting toasty again. Everybody's asking us to turn the heaters off. And anyway, it's been a good day. Been a very good day. Welcome. Quick announcement before we get into this interview style part of the service here. I'm going to be interviewing Cheryl Ann Keller. She is our new associate pastor of worship and women's. That's what it was. Yeah, I knew it was something in there. So welcome her. Welcome her. Welcome. Jim is not going anywhere. He's still on the team, still very much a vital part of what we're doing. So appreciate Jim. Quick announcement. Today is Grandparent Sunday. How many knew it was Grandparent Sunday? I don't know that they advertise that anywhere. Somehow it just misses all of my calendars. But today is Grandparents Sunday. So happy Grandparent Day. Next to parents, grandparents have the most influence in a child's life. We actually have a seminar coming up. Moses instructed the Israelites in Deuteronomy 4 to teach God's truth to their children and their children's children. So we're going to learn to do that in March of 2021. A national conference for grandparenting will be held in Alabama. It's one of those places, one of those A places. And the Central Coast will be one of the simulcast sites. So so we're going to be hoping to partner with them in their kind of vision, their mission, their goal to equip 10,000 grandparents, giving tools and a, and then a sense of a calling to be intentional grandparents. We have a huge job as grandparents. Amen. A wonderful job, but it's a big job. So we're going to help this ministry get that goal met. Details will be coming in the months coming. So again, this is Sherilyn Keller, and she is our associate pastor of worship and women's ministry. And so what we typically do when we have a new staff member join the team is I like to take just the day and interview and give every one of you a chance to kind of hear her story. So online, in person, you're going to get a chance to hear her story. So Sherilyn, welcome. I want to ask you to share your story a little bit. So do this, go back to the womb, and then kind of move forward from there and tell us who you are and what you're all about.
Great. So we'll be here for about 10 hours. I hope you're good with that. Those are snacks, hopefully. But no, actually, I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor as well. Are there any other PKs in the house? So, yeah. All right. So, you know, troublemakers unite. We'll talk after service. No, but I was super blessed to grow up in a family with lots of ministry heritage. So my dad being a pastor, my mom was like a Christian ed major. My grandparents were missionaries. My great-grandparents were missionaries. So my mom actually grew up in South Korea. And then my grandmother grew up in Japan. And so just have always had just a love for seeing God and his kingdom extended in the earth, and people come to know Jesus. And so that's just something that's been instilled at a very young age and has carried on throughout my life. So I was super musical from a very young age. I was very loud from a very young age. My mom often had to say, like, use your indoor voice.
Use your inside voice.
Yes. So, but the Lord blessed me with lungs to sing. And so I really started doing that from a young age, started writing music from a young age. I played the flute, the saxophone, you know, dabbled in a lot of instruments over the years. And so, but it was my senior year in high school that I started to lead worship and got invited to lead worship for our youth group. And that's kind of where that journey began. So my life kind of shifted from really doing more of like classical music and musical theater to being more of a worshiper.
Yeah. What happened that kind of took you down that path? What made you change kind of your focus and your plans for your life?
Yeah. I'd always dreamed really of playing in a flute in a symphony orchestra. That was really the dream that I had all through school. But it was my senior year of high school when I started to lead worship and really started to encounter God's presence in a new way. Even though I had known Jesus most of my life and accepted the Lord when I was like 6 years old and have a vivid memory of that, I really encountered God's presence in a new and fresh way as a teenager. And so it was really my senior year in high school, the Lord just got a hold of my heart. And it got to be where instead of, you know, enjoying some grand performance where there'd be applause at the end of some state championship band concert or something, I really just wanted to be in God's presence. And it just got to be where my heart was not drawn as much to man's praise as it was to be in God's presence bringing him praise. And it just really became clear to me that he was calling me into ministry.
Yeah. So my story's similar in that when I was in high school, I felt like the Lord put a call upon my life for the ministry. It's interesting that high school can be such a transformation, kind of a transitional or kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just a
pivotal.
Thank you very much. It's an important part of our lives where God has an opportunity to really speak to us. But what I've noticed is that depending on the person, everybody's got a different story and God has been reaching them at different seasons of life. And so I would say that if you're here today and you're wanting something from God, you're wanting something deeper from God, that is still available. And he loves you and he wants to speak something of grace and life to you. So we invited Sherilyn to come be our worship leader. And then like a couple days ago, I had this dream. Can I share my dream?
Please.
So I had this dream. So in this dream, I was invited to be a part of the worship team, and it's really dreams are not real, right? Dreams are not real. So I was invited to be a part of the team, but this is the reality is in my dream I couldn't play, and in real life I can't play. So I can't play and sing in real life or in my dream. But I decide I'm going to just go ahead and be on the team. And so I noticed there's a guy a couple people over from me, and he can't play either. And so I thought, well, maybe this is amateur night, and they're just going to invite anybody up to be a part of the team. So I'm up there with my guitar, and it wasn't my guitar. I don't know whose guitar it was, but I'm pretending to play. And I'm smiling. I'm having a good time. And about the second song in, two of the guys on the team, and again, there's like dozens of us up there, two of the guys on the team turned to me and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I don't know." You're the one that invited me to be a part of this. I have no idea what I'm doing. And it just reminded me, the dream reminded me that the people who are on the platform leading us in worship are very talented people. It's not about just rolling out of bed and picking a few songs. It's an investment of time, talent, and treasure. It's an investment of a person's life to become proficient and to be led by the Lord to lead us into a place of worship. And so I'm excited that you're here with us. Tell us about your kind of your story as from like high school forward. How did you end up here? What kind of got you moving in this world of worship leading?
Yeah. So when I was getting ready to graduate high school, I was kind of debating what to do with my life at that point. And I was pursuing this thing of flute performance major. And so I actually had an audition lined up for the Chicago Civic Orchestra, which is like the training orchestra for the Chicago Symphony. And that's what I really have been pursuing. But as I've shared before, the Lord had so changed my heart that I started to not really want to pursue that dream anymore. And I just felt him calling me to be a worshiper. And the Lord kind of had to drag me, like, kicking and screaming a little bit into it. Not because I didn't love worship, but because I actually didn't like being center stage in front of the lights, in front of people worshiping. I used to say I wished I could, like, lead worship from backstage. Yeah. You know, like, I didn't mind people necessarily even hearing me. I didn't like being seen. It was, like, a very vulnerable thing to kind of be up in front of people worshiping. And so the Lord had to teach me a lot about really learning how to worship for the audience of one, you know, to really focus on that my worship is to him. And then my job is really to like shepherd other people to just come along with me as we go into God's presence together. And so I would say over the next 2 years of my life, I just said, Lord, I'm going to give you this time to like allow you to make me what you want to make me. You know, you're the potter and I'm the clay. And I had this plan, but I don't even think I want to pursue this plan anymore. I don't know what I want to do anymore, but I just know I love to worship you. So it was really over the course of the next few years that I had wonderful pastors, mentors, people in my life who saw that too and really called it out of me. And so I ended up on staff as a worship leader by the time I was like 19 years old.
Wow.
And kind of have been pretty much since. There's been a lot of twists and turns along the way, but because I had an amazing experience to do some missions work, and if some of you might know the organization called YWAM, which stands for Youth with a Mission. And so I got to serve a season with them and really get discipled and mentored. It was a wonderful program. And then did 2 months of outreach in India and in Nepal. And I would say one of the most transformative things in that season of my life was getting to take the name of Jesus and the story of Jesus to corners of the earth that had never heard it before. Who'd never heard the name of Jesus before. You know, we got to take translators with us and share the gospel with some of these people for the first time, to hand them their first Bible in their language. Such a defining moment in my life to experience that. And it was really after that season that I started writing worship songs. Okay. I actually think I wrote my first worship song in, I don't know if it was Nepal or India, but I remember I was like sitting on a cement floor in the church we were staying at, and I had my acoustic guitar out, and I kind of barely played at the time, and I was just plunking around, but songs started to stir in my heart, songs of worship, and it really just felt like God had like pulled me into that. So it wasn't long after I returned after that worship trip that I recorded my first worship album.
Sweet.
And then that just kind of kept snowballing into new things.
How many songs have you written over the course of your life?
You know, I should have kept track, I guess. I know that I have 50 published songs.
Okay.
And I would guess there's probably, you know, at least twice or more than that that have written, because a lot of songs you write and they're not very good, you know. So you have to usually write 10 good songs to get one good song. Kind of like photographers, I say, you take a lot of photos to get the money shot, you know. So it's kind of the same as songwriting.
All right, cool. Elmer Towns said, God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anything, but he wants our worship. And I think God wants our worship because worship is transformational. Worship takes us into the presence of the living God, and it's a time when we can meet God face to face and encounter his grace and his goodness, his power. I found a definition for worship. It says this: worship is a face-to-face encounter with the living God based on a regeneration experience. So as God works in our lives, bringing us to salvation and then through sanctification, there's just this process where we enter into a place of worship. So it's a face-to-face encounter with the living God. based on a regeneration experience prompted by the Holy Spirit, resulting in the exaltation of God's glory. Powerful, right? I mean, there's something that actually happens. Something transpires when we sing and when we lift up our voices to the Lord. But worship is not just about singing. Worship is about just offering our lives to the Lord. I often say this, that when we're desperate and crying out to him, that's an act of worship. When we're in need and don't know what to do and we call out to him, that's an act of worship. When we're praying, when we're living our lives for his glorious purpose, those are all acts of worship. And so singing is just one way in which we worship, but it's a powerful, powerful way to worship. What's your favorite worship song?
I think it changes every 5 minutes, but right now there's just this really simple song called Christ the Lord is with Me. It's by a worship leader named Stephanie Gretzinger, and it, like, the chorus is so simple. It just goes, hallelujah, Christ the Lord is with me. And I love songs like that where it's like this tiny simple melody, this tiny simple truth, but something that sticks with you. So in those moments that you just need to remember that Christ the Lord is with you, you know, you have that thing that's kind of like recenters you. And so that song's been meaning a lot to me lately.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So tell us about your personal life. We're going to go a little deep here. And I'm going to ask you to talk about just your personal life a little bit and what's been kind of happening in your life.
Yeah, for sure. So a lot of you might know that I've served at Mountain Brook Church for the last 6 years or so. And a lot of you might also know some of the hardships that the church has gone through, and with our pastor stepping down earlier this year. And needless to say, that was definitely very difficult for our whole staff, really for the whole community. And I would say, you know, it's probably one of the hardest things that I walked through in my life. One of the things I really grieved very hard. One of those things you just never expect, you know, never expect it. And so we have some wonderful new leadership. Rick and Becky Olmsted have come and are now leading the church, and they're wonderful leaders. I've actually known Rick and Becky for many years. They've known me since I was a teenager. They've been involved with Vineyard churches for a long time, and I have a lot of love and respect for them. And they've come at a very difficult time to really love the church and rebuild the church and revitalize the church. And so I've been, you know, it's one of those things where I think our staff, you know, a lot of us just had to, we need to kind of go through some healing after that time. And so some of us have chosen to move on. And that's not out of, you know, anything but love for our church family, but really feeling like the church kind of needed a new beginning and needed a new start. And that some of us maybe who kind of went through the trauma needed to find a family to heal. And so through my relationship, that was just a relational connection, really meeting Steve and Jolene, and through conversations with them, I honestly was real hesitant at first, not out of anything but love for these guys too, but just like, oh man, I don't know if I even want to be in ministry. Like, that was rough. That was real rough, Lord. But I think the Lord really encouraged me through our conversations that, you know, the Lord's saying, like, I'm not done with you yet, Sherilyn. You know, I have things that I want you to do, and really started to see that there's things that I could potentially do here to just give of my heart and my gifts and hopefully come alongside what you guys already are doing that is so beautiful, but also to have a place to heal and find love and family and community. And I've already sensed that amongst your staff and the few of you that I've had a chance to meet personally, and I look forward to getting to know more of you. So thanks for welcoming me in.
Yeah, welcome. It's been a rough start. So Sherilyn, she started on Tuesday, and then on her drive to work on Wednesday, she got a call that her stepmother passed away. And so it's been kind of baptism by fire. You're working and trying to navigate life and that sort of thing. And so Sherilyn will be taking a few days off to fly back to Atlanta and to visit her dad and to minister to her dad, and then she'll be back for next Sunday. So it's not what the plan was. But often our life is not what the plan is. We talked in first service about your marriage and kind of how that all went. And can you kind of share vulnerably with us about that? That would be sweet.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's part of my story. It's part of my testimony. And, you know, it's one of those things where another one of those things you never expect, you know, to see a marriage end. And so I was married to a pastor, actually, for 5 years. And as in any marriage, it was, you know, it was hard, but I think I always thought we were fine, you know, like that it was just kind of normal, the bumps in the road that we might have encountered. But really, it came down to that he wasn't doing well. He was seeing a counselor and kind of fighting some depression and insomnia and different things, and had encouraged him to take some medications, and he really wasn't open to that. And what it came down to is his decision. Just he felt like he wanted to end our marriage and kind of move on and find healing on his own. And I just remember honestly feeling like this was like the end of my life. Like, it just felt like my life was over, my ministry was over. It was in a season where it's kind of like just my music career had started to lift off a bit. I was getting invited to events and things, and it was heartbreaking, and it was really like kind of knocked the wind out of me. And I remember just thinking, like, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to recover from this. I don't know if I'll ever quite bounce back. I don't know if I'll ever want to lead worship again. I don't know, Lord. And so there was a season I kind of canceled all of my event dates. I moved in with my parents. I just kind of had to heal and be and allow God to restore my heart and kind of renew my hope again that there was still a future for me. And so I kind of hid in the shadows of a giant mega church in Atlanta where I was living at the time, and had some friends there that led worship and some pastors on staff that I knew. But I could just kind of hide in the shadows and cry tears during worship and allow the Lord to work in my heart. But really what happened was that those people who knew me and loved me, you know, after I kind of had time to grieve and walk through that process, one of the pastors came to me and said, you know, when you're ready, there's a place for you here, you know, to use your gifts and serve. And I was like, oh, man, I don't know. I think I'd just be a puddle of tears up there. Like, I don't know how I could do it. And he said, well, just come be a puddle of tears then. That's okay. Yeah. Bring your tears. There's a church full of hurting people that need to see that, like, we should be worshiping through our brokenness, that it's worship unto the Lord to bring him your tears and your hurts and your doubts and your concerns, that God wants our whole heart, not just when we're having good days, that he loves us and he sees us and he cares for us on our bad days. If anything, he's near to the brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. And that was so freeing to me. And that was really the beginning of the road of me getting kind of tapping my toe into the pool of ministry a little bit again, saying, okay, Lord, even though I feel broken, I have even maybe felt disqualified because of what I've been through. I felt the Lord say, I'm not finished with you yet. And there's things for you to do, and just to trust him in that. And so I just started bringing my tears, bringing my worship, and he healed my heart.
Well, I appreciate that you went through the journey that you did and didn't stop, that you kept trusting the Lord and moving forward. Often we get stuck and we stay there. You mentioned your ex-husband struggled with depression. A lot of you know my story, that I've just talked about it recently, that I too struggle with depression and take medication for it. And it was during that time, it sounds like your husband made some really bad choices during that time. And I almost did the same thing myself. I'm grateful for God's grace and mercy through that, and having kind of feeling like I'm on the other side of that. I value God's ability to walk people through difficulty, because we all go through difficult seasons and different life challenges. And so I just want to encourage us today that if you're in a difficult season, you're in good company, because all of us, every one of us, have been through difficulties. If we haven't been, if we're not currently, when we're either coming out of one or going about to go into one, and it's just life. Life is full of challenges. So I encourage you to keep trusting Jesus, keep moving forward, and don't let that hinder your ability to move forward as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I found that God is super good at walking people through that. And I'm curious, you've hinted at it a little bit, how did the church do walking you through that? The church, your kind of your community in that big mega church that you're talking about.
Yeah. A lot of it was, you know, at the beginning, just letting me be, in the sense of like letting me grieve and praying over me and crying with me. But then it was also them being the hands and feet of Jesus and bring in a couple moving trucks when I needed to move my things out of our home and things like that. It was, I remember actually sitting down having coffee with one of the, you know, the musicians in the band, and you know, they were like, so are you writing any songs lately? And I was like, oh, I don't even know how to write a song anymore, you know. And he's like, well, maybe you should go write a song about that. And I was like, ha, 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 you know. But the very next day, I was kind of sitting there and looked at my dusty piano, my little writing journal, and I thought, all right, You know, so I sat down and started to write a song about not knowing how to write a song. And
wow.
And that started to open the floodgates of me writing songs again. And so really the Lord used people in my life to love on me and pull me back into what God made me to do and be.
Yeah, cool. So at the end of this interview, you're going to be leading us in a couple of songs with the band. Now, can I spring something on you?
Sure.
Can I ask you, now I know the band's not going to be prepared for it, but can you lead us in one of your songs and just something that you ever, whatever it is that you feel led to do, just lead us and we won't have words for it. We're not prepared for it. This is totally spontaneous, but if you can do that at the end of this set, that would be amazing. So you're actually going to be in charge of women's ministry as well. And share with us kind of your experience in that arena and kind of what your vision for women's ministry looks like, what that is.
Yeah. Well, when I had come through that season of difficult times, and actually on the heels of my divorce and kind of just when I was starting to catch my breath and just when I started to write songs again, my mom was actually diagnosed with cancer. My stepmom's the one who recently passed away, but my mother, Annette, she was diagnosed with cancer, and it was a real quick, like, 7 months from her, you know, diagnosis to her passing, and it was another one of those, like, didn't expect this, took my breath away again, you know, just kind of like, Lord, where are you in the midst of this? But I remember it was like in this season, I had just started writing songs post-divorce and I was living with my folks when this was all happening, right? Yeah, so I'm like in this transition with them and then she gets this diagnosis. But I would be writing these songs. My mom would be in the house hearing me and she would just say like, oh, Cher, I think people need to hear these songs. Mm. And some of the songs weren't necessarily worship songs. They were just songs about life and love and hardship and just kind of my own laments of things I'd been walking through. And I just like, well, I don't even know where to sing them. These aren't exactly songs I can sing on Sunday, Mom, you know? She's like, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, she'd think about it. So I started like going to open mics and like singing at open mics and sharing some of the songs. And sure enough, there'd be some girl at a table in the back corner just tears streaming as I would sing. And she'd usually, you know, beeline it to me after and just be like, oh, it's like you just sang my story. Like, and we'd end up with this conversation, and I would see the Lord kind of show up as I did that. So that kind of spurred me into this season of going out, and I actually started like a tour of sharing my songs and my story. Hmm. And so that's really where some of my women's ministry started me just sharing what I'd been through, just sharing what I'd walked through and sharing the songs and the stories that had come through that season. So then, you know, the Lord kind of opened the door for me to do that more and more with women who have struggled through different things, whether in their marriage or in their life personally, have struggled walking with someone through an illness or whatever it might have been, knowing that we all have those struggles.
Yeah.
And but for me, I love getting to see women like come into who God made them to be and to like walk in that fully, whether it's like your passion is your kids or your passion is, you know, being in like an amazing wife and supporting your husband, whether your passion is making amazing cinnamon rolls or your passion is quilting or your passion is being an amazing physician or whatever, right? Whatever it is that God has made you to do, that in all things we do it for the glory of God.
Yeah,
and seeing women release to be fully you and who you're made to be, all ages, all different seasons of life, seeing all ages come together and support each other and like be a sisterhood, kind of lifting each other up. Mm-hmm. And so that's really my heart and hope to be able to continue to do that here amongst your women's ministry, which I hear already is amazing.
Yeah, that's good. So thanks for sharing. We've talked about some things, and I wonder two things: what you're most excited about in this new season, what you're most excited about, and what you're most kind of fearful about, if I can use that word.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I always say that I like get the best seat in the house, really, to like get to watch the church encounter God week after week. And I'm most excited, really, to see you guys as a church family encounter the Lord and go deeper and deeper with him, and that I get to come along with you for that adventure, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm just excited to see what the Lord is already doing here at Harvest and where he wants us all to go together deeper into the waters with him. And so that really excites me.
Cool.
And, you know, I think the thing probably, if I, you know, to be super vulnerable is to, I'm most afraid that I'll let, like, my PTSD prevent me, did I say that right?
Yeah, okay. PTSD, yeah.
Kind of prevent me from, like, I don't want to be afraid to engage with your hearts, I guess, and to be vulnerable and open up. And knowing if you guys will have a little grace for me, I might be a little wounded.
Yeah.
But I know I need a family. Yeah. And I'm grateful for this family. So thanks again for welcoming me in.
Yeah, good. I love you, Charlotte. Yeah, yeah. Thank it's you. All right that you're wounded. Yeah. Okay. So one more. A couple more questions. What is your favorite Bible verse and why? Since you're kind of there anyway.
I'm here. He knows what's coming. So Jesus wept.
Yeah.
And here's why. Because I think it's so easy for us to think that God is just like some far off God in the sky, or that, you know, it's like to be a Christian, we've always got to like have everything all put together, or you got to be on the mountaintops of praise all the time, yeah, you know. Yeah. And I love that we get this example that Jesus, like, he knows our hearts. He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to weep over a friend who died. He knows what it's like to have a friend betray you. He knows what it's like to stub his toe. He knows these things. He's that kind of near God who experienced these things. But he also is the God who, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross for us. That's our Savior. And so what that little verse reminds me of is he just knows us. He knows us. But he cares so deeply for us that he endured horrific things so that we could be free from sin and death and all the things that try to tangle us up, and that we could live a life close to him and near to him forever.
Yeah, that's good. Sometimes we just need to internalize that and say, he knows me. Why don't we just say that he knows me. One more time, he knows me. Yeah, and that's powerful, right? To be known by the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe, our Savior and Lord. Okay, no more heavy questions. Tell us about your hobbies and the things that you like to do for fun.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, big surprise, I love music. So, over the course of the pandemic, I ended up taking this online course in songwriting for TV, ad, and film. Yeah. And it's been really fun. And I'll tell you why. I've encountered this whole community of songwriters, producers, people way outside of my sphere.
Yeah.
A lot of them don't know Jesus. Some of them do. There's a lot of worship leaders actually in the sphere too, but some of them don't. And I get this chance to write songs and collaborate with people who maybe don't know Jesus. And it's just been a really awesome experience and really life-giving for me. I joke that it's like my finger painting part of life, where I just get to have fun writing songs, and we get to, you know, write for advertisements or for a TV show or whatever it is. But that's been really fun. So in my spare time, I do a lot of songwriting and recording. I have a little home studio, and that's a lot of fun. But outside of music, I like to cook, and I love to take photos, and I also really love swing dancing. So
yeah. Cool. No swing dancing during COVID, though.
It's been so sad. No dancing. Yeah. I used to go to Madonna Inn like almost every week swing dancing, but it hasn't been for a while.
Well, hey, thank you so much for sharing your story. What I want to do now is invite the worship team to come forward, and we're going to sing some songs, and then Sherilyn's going to share one of her songs spontaneously. So you want to do that first? Yeah. You can do that first. Yeah, that'd be totally cool. And so let's pray, and then as we do, the worship team's coming forward. And then we'll sing some more songs. Amen. All right, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here together as family, as friends, Lord God. We love you, Lord, and we need you. And I trust, God, that as stories have been shared, God, that God, you have been speaking to us. You've been revealing yourself to us, Lord, and just proving once again your faithfulness, your goodness, your kindness, your love, Lord Jesus. So thank you for that, Lord. And as we get ready to sing, we just want to have our hearts open to you. We want our hearts to be available to you. God, we want to be present with you. And so God, maybe where we've been fearful in the past, I pray that we would no longer be fearful. Where we've been hesitant to worship fully, Lord, that we would no longer be hesitant. So Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you that your grace is sufficient. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up.
Yeah, so I'm just going to start just with a little bit of a song for you. This song actually comes from Psalm 56. When I used to have kind of like sleepless nights pacing the floor, the Lord just kind of brought me to this psalm, and I used to hang out in this quite a bit. And just to be reminded that sometimes we have to speak to our own soul, like, you know, you could be like, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God, right? You have to kind of preach to your own soul sometimes. And I would sometimes have to preach to my soul, why are you so afraid? You have the God of the universe on your side. And so that's really where this song comes from in Psalm 56.
It's when I feel afraid, you're the fortress of my life. Your love like armor shielding on all sides. From storms unkind, I hide in the shadow of your wing. Where peace abides, be still, O anxious mind. 'Cause I know you see me cry, and you count my tears. In sleepless nights, I know you're near, and Lord, I choose, fearless now, to trust in you. Believe your promises are true. I'm proud to praise the God who saves. And Lord, I choose, fearless now, to trust in you. Believe your promises are true. I'm proud to praise the God who saves. And I know when the battles come, I will face my fears, but it's worth the fight. I know you're here. And I know when the battles come, it's worth the fight. I know you're here, and Lord, I choose, fearless now, to trust in you. Believe your promises are true. I'm proud to praise the God who saves. And Lord, I choose, fearless now, to trust in you. Goodness of God. the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. We're gonna sing your praise all our days, Jesus. Oh, here in your presence, we feel your love all around us. Thank you for your love. Tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know. Oh, I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance.
Behind us, and you're always with us. Christ the Lord is with us. Hallelujah. So thank you, Jesus, for your presence that is here with us now, that will go with us all through the week ahead. May we be the hands and feet of Jesus to everyone we come in contact with, that we will let your love and your light flow through us to a hurting world. Thank you for your presence. We love you. We honor you. We place you at the center of our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo!
was good, church. Thanks so much. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Have an amazing week.